Good evening, everyone. I'm broadcasting live January 26, 2016. No teacher like the Buddha. I have a quote today that says, "There's no teacher like the Buddha." It's a shame, really, we don't have the Buddha here with us. Either that, or we should be practicing the Mahayana, where apparently the Buddha is always up in heaven, in some kind of super realm. He never really dies. Because if he were to die, if he were to pass away, he would enter into parinibbana and never be in contact with the world. That would be rather selfish of him. So they say there are three bodies of the Buddha. There's the Dhammakaya, and then there's the Sambhogakaya, and then there's the Nimittakaya. So what we see is only a replica of the Buddha. The actual Buddha never came to earth. He's just living up in heaven, some kind of heavenly realm. That's Mahayana Buddhism. In Theravada there are three Gayas, three bodies of the Buddha as well. But it's a bit different. We have the Namakaya, the Rupakaya, and the Dhammakaya. The Namakaya is the thoughts and intentions and the mental qualities of the Buddha. The Rupakaya is the physical aspect of the Buddha. The bones and the flesh. And the Dhammakaya is the body of teachings that he left behind. These are the three kayas that we recognize. So the Namakaya of the Buddha has gone. It's extinguished. Blown out like a light. If it weren't that way, there would not be any point to this. If the Buddha hadn't left samsara, then there would be no point. He wouldn't have been a leader. It would mean his teaching didn't lead to nibbana, it didn't lead to freedom. We couldn't really trust what he said. So it depends who you ask, but if you ask the people who recorded this quote, or we believe this quote comes from the Buddha, so the people who recorded the Buddha as saying this, it says the Buddha acts as he speaks, and he speaks as he acts. He is consistent. And there are other schools of Buddhism who say he was not consistent. He said that he was going into parinibbana, well, not exactly. For us, this is very important. It's important to understand why an enlightened being will leave samsara. Because people think, isn't that selfish to leave the world behind? This charge of selfishness is really interesting. As I've said before, who cares? What if it is selfish? You know, if you do everything that makes you happy, if everything you do is to make you happy, who cares whether it's selfish, right? That doesn't strike us well, but it's a very powerful statement. We think that's horrible, that's so selfish. don't care about anyone else's happiness. But it's the most elegant. It's not horrible, it's not selfish, it's elegant. Because it makes sense. You can understand that on a primal level. Yes, if I'm happy, then where's the problem? Immediately you think, the problem is, what about other people? Does that mean happiness at the expense of others? Well, the elegance of it is that it doesn't. It may mean foregoing helping others. But if your goal is to help others, you've got a big problem because there's always going to be more people to help. And furthermore, if everyone goes around helping everyone else, then who's helping oneself? Who's working for themselves? Who's ever going to be happy? So instead of teaching people to help others, we teach people to help themselves. It's really what works the best, because the help you can give to others turns out to be quite small compared to the help you can give to yourself. Even the Buddha, he taught people to be a refuge for themselves. The things he taught were about self-teaching. It wasn't about giving people fish, it was about teaching people how to fish. So the Buddha's gone, and that's the best thing he could have done, most powerful thing he could have done, because it gives us a true path, a way that it does make sense and does have meaning and does have an end. It's not without an end, it's not without a goal. And moreover, there was no other way. If the Buddha were to stay behind, as I said, it would mean he weren't enlightened. It would mean he hadn't reached the goal. It's not possible for an arahant, even if they wanted to, because of course they can't want to stay behind, continue on. So this is the goal that we're aiming for. This is the legacy that the Buddha left behind. He opened the door for us. And then he stepped through. It's up to us whether we're going to follow him. His practice is for cessation. It's for the cessation of suffering. Suffering that we have a way to make it cease. We have a way to be free from suffering. However much you practice, that's how much suffering you'll do away with. If you practice a lot, you'll free yourself from a lot of suffering. Practice to the end of the path, you'll free yourself from all suffering. The door is open. It's up to us to walk through. Today I was teaching meditation all day, more 5-minute meditation lessons. And then I had to do this interview for a talk that I'm giving downtown. I think it didn't go very well, as I was very tired and didn't really have my lines memorized, the talk memorized, so probably not going to be giving a TED talk after all. They asked me, why do you want to give this talk? Why do you really want to give this talk? And I said, you know, to be honest, I'm kind of non-committal about it. If there's somebody else who wants it more, you should give it to them. I mean, the interview went pretty well, but when I had to give the talk, I had to have some of it memorized, and it wasn't really memorized. And I had to go by the slides, and I couldn't remember which slide was which. And I don't think they were that impressed. Anyway, it's been a long day, so I think I'm going to stop there. Wish you all a good night. Keep practicing, no? Night.